Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. John Keefe heads up WNYC's data news team. They turn numbers into visual tools to illustrate what is and isn't happening in and around New York City, whether it's mapping stop-and-frisk searches or tracking school performance or the heat in the subway station in real time. Their work has become a model for data-driven investigative reporting. After work, John is a father who committed himself to making one playful, useful, smart object each week for a year. With all that, he's out with a new guide to making simple sensory circuits that can be assembled at a kitchen table. And the new book is called Family Projects for Smart Objects. And John Keefe, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, Virginia.
Great to have you with us, but I'm trying to explain to myself what is a smart object. Maybe you can help me.
So a smart object is not unlike what you have in your pocket or purse, a phone, right? It's something that knows a little bit about where you are and your environment and lets you know about it. I'm trying to pull that apart a little bit about and demystifying it. And so you can make very simple objects that can sense temperature or sense the weather or sense the light in the room. And then it can tell you a little bit about that by either flashing a light or making a sound, or if you get a little bit more sophisticated, sending you an email.
So do you think kids need to know about this kind of stuff, you know, rather than building a castle out of popsicle sticks?
I love popsicle stick candles, so I will not disparage those at all.
They're not very responsive.
That's true, they're not. I think what it does in some way, it certainly does for me, and I think for my daughters, makes me understand a little bit more about the world around me. Sure, I'm not going to end up making an iPhone. I recognize that. But to understand a light sensor, and that actually the light sensor may be why it knows when the phone is up against my face, which is basically how it does know that. That's the kind of thing that I think you can open up a little bit. It just demystifies this technological world around us just a little bit and makes you understand also that it is possible to build things. I think we are in a world where if you want something or need something, you go out and you buy it. But what if you can make it?
So you said that you can get simple things, tools that you can buy on the internet and maybe things you have around the house. Do you need to know how to code? Do you need to know how to electricity works?
You don't need to know how to code, which is actually kind of interesting. In the book, I actually provide you with all of the code, and you actually can get it online, so you don't even have to type it in. Interestingly, though, making physical objects on your table and using code is actually a way that a lot of people like to learn how to code. If you can write code and then something physical happens, either a light happens or maybe even a motor moves or an arm moves, that's actually kind of an amazing experience. And it's a little bit more rewarding to some people than just seeing a box move across a screen or something like that. The parts are really simple. The main part is this little computer that's basically the size of a credit card. It doesn't have a keyboard and it doesn't have a screen. It's just this little credit card computer, and it's about $20 depending on where you get it, and it's called an Arduino. And what's nice about Arduinos is that you can very easily program them to do things like sense light or temperature and then flash LEDs. You actually connect it to a computer you already have using a cable, and you feed the program onto the Arduino, and then you don't have to keep it connected. It can live on its own. But the process of doing that can be a little confusing and a little complicating, and I think it's a way that a reason that some people don't dive into this, and I try to address that in the book. Actually, the first chapter is all about just getting started, and the title of the chapter is "You Only Have to Do This Once," which is true. You do it once, and then you can actually make all the other projects.
So kids will need some adult assistance for this, but which ages are you really aiming at?
Well, there's no age range on the book. I think kids have different skill levels at different levels. But you're right. It's really designed for parents and kids to do things together. In answer to your question, I think I'm really thinking about ages of my kids, which are who are 11 and 13 now. They were a little bit younger when I started all of this. So I think anybody who's in the age range from 9 and up.
We're speaking with John Keefe. His day job is the head of New York Public Radio's data news team, but here with us as part of a group of makers called Team Blinky and author of a new book called Family Projects for Smart Objects. Tell us a little about Team Blinky. This is a collection of friends who describes itself as learning by making playful and fun and useful objects. So what are the kind of things that you make together?
Well, this was actually really inspiring for me. What happened was a couple of friends, Liza Stark and Alex Goldmark, and I just started getting together every couple of months to just try to make something we've never made before. One day it was making sort of animated Christmas tree lights using a strip of LEDs. And what would happen is we would just keep finding these fun things to play with online. We'd order them and they'd show up at our houses. And then we'd get together and we would play with them to see if we could make different things work. I've learned so much from them about e-textiles, which is actually putting circuitry into fabric so you can actually make clothing. And interestingly enough, this weekend going to their wedding, they're getting married, Alex and Liza, and Liza will be wearing an LED-driven wedding dress. It's very subtle and very beautiful, and she's built it all herself. And this is the kind of thing that we've just been experimenting with. That actually led to the challenge to myself, which was to try to make something every week, because I just found it so rewarding. And I tried to make something every week. I made something every 1.7 weeks. So I made 30 things in 52 weeks. So it was pretty close. But then it ended up making this book. And I also learned so much in the process. It was so much fun.
You talked about what you learned making things with Team Blinky. What did you learn from making smart objects with your own kids? You described, you know, blinking Christmas lights, which you can get pretty much, I think, for $1.99 at the dollar store. So what kind of value, what did you get out of this that you don't get from just picking it up at a store?
One, you get to learn what the parts are. And, you know, one day my daughter and I were just trying to, it was almost like a puzzle. We thought, could we make a candle, an electric candle, that you could blow out, right? So we had actually played with some little flickery LEDs, so they're little lights, but instead of just being on steady, they flicker like a candle. And so we had tied some batteries to those kinds of lights and made little like electric candles. But then we thought, could we make something that you could actually blow out, you know, using your breath, and it would know that you had blown on it and it turned itself out. So we started Googling around and we found this little device. It's about $17 and it's a wind sensor that's very simple and it also plays very well with the Arduino computer. And so we got it and we built a little candle that you could actually blow out. Obviously, this is not something that we needed to do, but just posing the challenge as we sat there on our living room couch and then investigating the possibilities and then actually getting the parts and building it, that was all just an experience that both of us got to share. And we learned something new. We learned about these things called hot wire wind sensors. One of the things that I have played with during that year of making things was a temperature detector. So this was a little device. I actually had it taking the temperature of the room and then texting out the information to a spreadsheet. A little bit more than a year later, somebody came to the WNYC newsroom and was talking about a possible project where they wanted to monitor the heat in apartments in Harlem, especially with people who don't have air conditioning. And we wanted to track this. Well, I knew exactly how to make a tiny little temperature tracker, and we actually ended up making 30 of these. And we put them in Harlem apartments this summer, and we actually tracked it. And we've been doing stories about how hot it is in Harlem apartments during the summer. So all of that was possible, frankly, because I was just tinkering back a year ago. I don't know what the electric candle will lead to in the future, and maybe nothing, but maybe it'll lead to something like a story or a project. And that's okay if it does, and it's okay if it doesn't.
Well, guess that's the evolution of a data nerd. Can I say that safely?
For sure. For sure.
John Keefe, a father, a journalist, and maker based in New York City, and author of a new book called Family Projects for Smart Objects. It's a guide to making electronic, computer, and internet projects on your own tabletop. You can find more in the book, as well as the fish tank dioxide generator and remote controlled egg and other stuff that he built during his year of making stuff every, 1.7 weeks. All of that is at wordofmouthradio.org. And if you would like to plunge into making stuff, Manchester Makespace is a new community makerspace. They've got a 3D printer, a machine shop, a wood shop, and classes open to kids and adults, like classes on t-shirt recycling or computer programming or robotics. And there are teachers and engineers to help you out. So if you're curious about creating, they have an open house open to the public every Monday evening. You can find Manchester Makespace online on Facebook and at 36 Granite Street in Manchester.